Well, this presentation is going to be focused on other elements which are extremely important when coming to play, when actually we discuss the archaeological recording. That is the temporality, and also the logistic of creating a 3D model in archaeological practice. I mean, the current archaeological practice, I mean, the practice which allow us as archaeologists to investigate an archaeological site, is very complex. And actually, it's been developed after almost half a century of discussion with no switch of technology. So if intellectually and practically we can practice archaeology at a worldwide level, having a kind of common standards between nations, it's because there has been a discussion on which type of data those are, how to use them, how to characterize them. So we have rules, which can differ from site to site, but still. When actually 3D models come into play in archaeological practice, this start to be problematic because this is a typology of data which we are not absolutely used to practice with. What does it mean? It means that actually usually what we do in terms of documentation is we document or at least we make the descriptions of what we interpret, of what we see, taking off many information which are not relevant for our studies, for example. So when you have a 3D model, what's happening is that instead you have a very rich information, but it's not interpreted. So there is not a filter of the archaeologist telling why actually that context was identified. So it's very important this, because without having this in mind, it's very difficult to talk about 3D and archaeology. And also why archaeology has been so difficult to use 3D models in archaeological practice. I'm not talking about monuments, because that is the very last phase, and it's really a small part, it's the iceberg final part, you know. So, however, today, so the thing is that we've been trying to use 3D models to make layer or stratigraphic acquisition, but it's not so easy. So my impression is that we have been trying really hard to squeeze into the old methodology something that doesn't fit. So 3D models require a different paradigm, require a different discussion, require a different methods. So we are still on the way. And I would like to show you some of the experiments we are running. We have a lot of experiments or work, field work. We use 3D models to better understand our actions in the field. So not to have actual information after a long time. So really immediately to see if having a 3D model in the field using this tablet, producing it and looking at it, we can, as archaeologists, for example, changing our approach in the field. Remember, we destroy the information. So we detect them and then we remove them. So it's very important to be not just documented them, but also to recognize them and expose them. So last things, from this experience, from my experience so far, the use of active sensors has been very negative, not because they're not good, they're extremely good, but logistically they don't fit with the excavation time frame. We need to have the model before removing the strata, before removing the context, otherwise it doesn't work. Instead, for example, passive sensors like image-based 3D reconstruction and so on are extremely useful because you can actually get your model in the field done by the archaeologist because it's the one who can actually decide what is the information to record with more emphasis and so on. But this technique, of course, suffers very much from the experience of the operator in taking the pictures, as we discussed this morning. But still, it's not just a question if the operator is good or not. It's also a question if the operator is capable of looking at the information or not. There are 3D models, which are actually very nice, but they simply are not enough accurate in one part where actually the information was needed, simply because the person doing it was not absolutely, had no idea what was actually photographing. Good acquisition, fantastic photograph, very good, you know, that's what I meant. However, some example. I have problems sitting, actually. But so very, very short things. This is a case study of some years ago, San Biborie, is an island outside Kalmar in Sweden. And we did this work in collaboration with the Kalmar County Museum. So there has been actually, you see, this is a fourth ring. It's really beautiful. And inside of that, there has been a looting. Mm-hmm. So they actually stole some of the artifacts. So, and the Länsstyrelsen, which is the institution which takes care of cultural heritage in Sweden, immediately wanted to have an excavation, an emergency excavation. It was very interesting because what came out was this. this trench. There was a body, someone was not buried, it was killed, brutally killed. It's a cold case. Plus a head of another person, killed as well, and half of it. So the excavation couldn't go more than 5 days, so 3D model done, georeference, another thing. A 3D model that is not georeference is a big problem in archaeology. We cannot do much with it. So another interesting metadata to add always is, you know, is georeference in them. And then the year after, we opened a trench and we excavated entirely all, entirely, we opened 5 trench. But you see, it came out the house, it's all in 3D. This is a 3D GIS. So, and what was fantastic is that we could simply drag and drop the 3D model, georeference, and they match. So we actually had the reconstruction of a scene, of a cold case, with all the objects connected with this homicide. And then what? And then we say, well, now let's study it. Usually what's happened, this is interesting, all the bones were taken in Lund, okay? So for our osteologists to study it. But the osteologists, they study the bones, looking at one by one and defining, for example, typology of determining, for example, the cause of fractures and so on. But they don't have the complete scene. Usually they have a drawing, so bidimensional information. So in this case, together with an osteologist at our institute, we say, well, why don't we try to do something different? When you analyze the bones, just drawing the 3D GIS in 3D directly on the crack, and then we made the database, so metadata, which in order to preserve taphonomy. So in order actually to host the information coming from the analysis. It was quite funny because querying the system and asking, okay, just show me the post-mortem fracture, so the fracture which occur after the death. And it was fantastic because the system could highlight linear cracks, which were in this case probably the roof falling on these people and cracking when they were already dead. So this actually told us a lot of things. For example, told us that there was a roof like that. And most important, if the roof was falling down because the house was, you know, was rottening, it would have never been such a linear crack. It would have been, you know, pulled back. But this means probably an action. So probably someone pushing down the house to cover the bodies. And why? Probably, this is a bit of speculation, but we wrote in an article about, probably they didn't want actually the body of their close people being eaten by animals, spread out all around. It was still a dangerous situation. The only one logically way of making this bone safe was actually covering with the house. So you see, this information is in the 3D model, but it's not. You need to determine it in working, in merging, in integrating a methodology which comes from osteology or forensic studies together with an acquisition. Another important aspect that I would like to underline here very much is that 3D model there is not, you go there, you make a 3D model of remains and so on. No, you have to think about that before, and you need to be sure that the context is clean. It's clean enough to highlight specific information. Otherwise, it doesn't work. You can have a fantastic high resolution, million of points of 3D model, but which doesn't display what actually you want to show. So it's also very important to open really strong channels of discussion between all of us and also other specialists to determine not just how many points or polygons a model should be done, but also actually what are, for example, the protocols to prepare, you know, the photographic setting, because there are protocols for acquiring the pictures, but also protocol for preparing the scene to be visible, especially in image-based 3D reconstruction or photogrammetry, because, you know, for example, we can, with the trowel, we can clean in a way that the colors come into play much clearly. Otherwise, after 20 minutes, the hair dry everything and it will look like the same. So you can have a fantastic 3D model which look like the same. So, Steve, yeah, I it was 10 minutes, so I just try to squeeze. Another interesting case study, which I've been working in the last few years, is in Çatalhöyük in Turkey. It's a beautiful archaeological excavation, as well as probably one of the most complex, stratigraphically speaking. It's been an amazing adventure. And the same, in that case, for example, we have been mainly trying to, create a model of each building at different stage of the investigation. What is the peculiarity of this is that this has been done in a very large scale. So since 2014 or 13, every time the building reaches a phase, there is a 3D model. And there are hundreds now of models, because there are a lot of buildings with a huge staff. So because all this material is georeference, we are, as archaeologists, can drag and drop in our 3D GIS everything. And for example, you know, first of all, highlighting, measuring, but also to see temporally the sequence of the models. which is fantastic for us because we can review our actions in the field. The models are also, of course, well, actually, this is this tablet. It's quite interesting because we can draw directly on the 3D model and we can create shape files, which are customized with a database, which hosts the single context method information. And they are not flat. They follow the geometry. So it's also another typology of data for us, which is quite new. And just to show you one sentence, the last two slides. What is the result? Usually you have result after many years that you use it. You need to collect information before. But we had actually, we were quite lucky. 2015, I was on site, and this is a very important building, very beautiful, a lot of burial retrieved, very rich mural paintings. And they were actually dismounting a wall, which is usually characterized as a unit. The plaster, you know, there was a lot of piece of plaster in the wall on the floor when there was dismount. And one of those, he has a small piece of pigments. So by protocol, this goes automatically to the conservation team, which take it and clean it. And this was not just a normal piece of plaster, of wall, but was a fantastic head, animal head probably, with obsidian eyes. And the problem was, where was it? I mean, the position of that in the wall is crucial to understand the symbolic meaning of the building. So there are teams there working for that. So it was a kind of, that is a pity, it's lost. But it was very interesting because the archaeologists working there, they start taking the archives and they start looking at the same building before. And you see here, they could retrieve. Well, it looked like obvious, but it's not in the field, I can tell you. This was actually the artifact identified. So this was clean on site. I took picture of it a lot. We made a very high resolution model with good texture. And using MeshLab, we align it back to the original site. And because now it's georeference after the MeshLab, after the alignment, it was replaced back in the GIS. So we had actually the feature restored, placed in situ, and now we could even understand where, you know, if it was not bended artificially, where it was looking at. So this was just to say that this was, it's really a difference, you know, really make the difference having a library, but which is available and which is compatible with other typology of media, with other typology of information. Archaeology is a very much a neo-documentalist science, where actually several typology of documentation material are involved. So it's probably the queen of the neo-documentalist analysis. And of course, when you also have this kind of model, you can also make morphology analysis with a simple GIS. But because your data are so dense, well, you can, in the field, I mean, when you're excavating, we do all the time now, you can have actually morphology analysis and also eventually detecting things which are not visible in the field, like, for example, cap for burial could be things that I personally experience you don't see. But then after the analysis, you see them. So it's this go strongly affecting our way of moving in the field. And time, it's a very important component in any archaeological excavation. So this is a we have been discussing also what are the theoretical implications of it. There are a lot of theories in archaeology, and Çatalhöyük is very famous also for the theoretical frame because there is a Jan Hodder, which was defined as the founder of the reflexive method, which is post-processualism in archaeology, which revolutionized archaeology in the last decades. And this is the practical side of this theory. And it's interesting to see how technology change, affect this theoretical frame and the methodological part. And this is interesting because using tablets and archives and GIS, we can have actually archaeologists as a recording agent, the technology, which is a tablet, which allow us to have all the information, not just what we record in the field, but also what a team a year before have done. And we never met these people, but we have the material done by them, and we can actually drag and drop all this material and reconstruct the erection in the past. So this is a very valuable aspect for us. But of course, the way of how we shape the information, we create metadata, and is the way of how we will allow other people in the future to use those data. The 3D model per se is not very much useful, I can tell you. it's nice, it's well shaped, but not really much useful. But a 3D model, if defined, if it created with an idea, with a research question in mind, or with a frame, with a working frame, which take into account needs of multiple researchers, it can be the most powerful thing in the hands of a cultural heritage operator.